It's that Monday afternoon feeling, isn't it? Do come in. If you're standing at the back, come and join us. Come a bit further forward so we don't feel so far away. This is Annie, and I'm Jackie, and we're here to help lead a session called Generous, Living Generously. Living Generously, sort of, just to tell you a little bit about it, came out of those sorts of what-if conversations, or those sort of conversations where you sort of say, do you really think it makes any difference if... Oh, I need to have it closer, don't I? I had a scary experience earlier in the weekend with the microphone, and I've been a little bit frightened ever since, where it was all feedbacky. Is that better now? Right. Okay, so Living Generously really came about from these what-if conversations. We kept sort of, you know, sitting around on Sunday lunch saying, do you think it makes any difference that we... And it could range from things like give money to a friend of ours who works in Nicaragua, to composting, to... all of those sorts of things. And this was about 5 years ago. And our conclusion definitely was that we had to believe it did make a difference, because otherwise what was the point in doing anything? And at the time I was pregnant and very ill in bed. And so we started thinking about, had a lot of time on my hands, so we started thinking about, is there something we could do where we could bring together more people so that it would feel as though our little actions, which we kept wondering whether any good, would become something bigger. The belief that little actions can add up together to make a big difference. And so it was Martin Rowe, who's been involved in Greenback for a very long time, and myself, and we decided that we would ask, see if we could find 100 people at Greenbelt, because we knew there's lots of people at Greenbelt who like ideas like that, would like to join us for a year to live generously. So in on a rainy Saturday night 5 years ago at Greenbelt, we managed to get 100 people to sign up to live generously for a year. Is there anyone who is here who is part of that initial first year? I know Annie was, because that's how I that was how we met. And yeah, so very nice to have you here. So we did it for a year, and every month we'd sort of send a little email out saying, this is what we're doing, and you know, here's some other actions you might like to do. And we used a website to bring people together as a little intentional community. It was incredibly haphazard, really, and that's why we only really wanted to do 100 people, because we thought we can manage 100 people. And what we were really trying to encourage one another to do was to change the default setting on our behaviour. And by that sort of mean that, you know how you tootle along during life just doing something, and you don't really think very much sometimes about what you were doing. And what we wanted to do was to encourage ourselves to think and stop and to try and change some of those behaviours. So one of the actions which has remained the most popular action to date, and which I'm very pleased to see has been widely adopted now by supermarkets, was to say no to plastic bags. And there were lots of comments on the website that it took quite a long time to remember to have your little bag in your pocket or in your handbag. But over time, we got better. And actually, over time, of course, it's got easier, because there's a lot more recyclable bags out there. And it's very pleasing to see how over the past 5 years, not only have we managed to change our behaviour, but actually our society has also managed to change our behaviour. But at the end of that year, we asked people and said, you know, what do you reckon? Any good? Make any difference to your lives? And the overwhelming response was that it had been worth it, because it was good to feel part of something where you were connected with one another. And certainly I know from my own experience that I stopped cheating quite as much as I used to. So I would used to think that I composted, but actually sometimes it was a bit boring and I'd just throw it in the bin. But when I signed up to Living Generously, it's true. But when I signed up to Living Generously, I think, oh no. And I'll take it out of the bin and put it back in the composter. And over time I stopped doing the cheating. And so it did change my behaviour too. And other people gave similar feedback, saying, yes, it made me change the way I was living my life. They didn't always sign up on the website, and some people the website it doesn't work for at all, really, and other people it does. But what we said at the end of the year was we'd invite other people to join us, and that's what we've been doing very modestly for the past 4 years. And people keep saying, why don't you make it bigger? And it's like, sometimes big is lovely, but actually big requires a lot of resource. And we, Martin, myself, a few other people along the way, Annie and her husband included, run Generous. And I think it's fair to say that we run it in the margins of our already quite busy lives. It doesn't mean that we don't think it's important. We do think it's important. But, you know, time, money, it's always in a tyke sort of thing. So generous is something that carries on modestly. We've got a website. In fact, James Stewart, who's also does stuff for Green Butt, has come on board in the past year and has made it look lovely. And what we do is each month we send members a couple of little ideas of things that they could do to live generously. This August, one of the suggestions was to think about getting involved in charities. Our actions are not just about environmental things. They range from environmental to building social capital. We always thought it was important to do things which contributed to our community as well as to the planet. Our feeling was that it was about people and planet. And that was what our vision was for Generous. So that's to give you a little bit of a sense of what our story is about and how we come to be sort of sitting here talking and about living generously. But really our idea for today is for it to be a participative session, and we would like to find out from you what you are doing. But first of all, let me just hand over to Annie, because as I say, I met Annie when through Generous, and I'm just going to ask you what Generous meant to you.
Yes, it was, like you say, was it really 5 years ago?
It was, because my daughter's five, so I always know.
Yes, you know. Okay, I believe you then. Yes, 5 years ago, a little bit before my husband and I came to Green Belt that year, we, a bit like Jackie had been saying, we've been really thinking through things in our lives, and did we want to plod on as normal, or was there something more, as Christians, you know, is there something more we could do to help people in the world? And we very much considered going abroad, going to mission, and we looked into all sorts of things for quite a long period of time, and nothing really seemed to be right for us, and we couldn't really understand quite what we were supposed to be doing. And then we gradually came around to this idea of very much like the things Jackie just said about perhaps there are things we can do here living where we are, but to make a difference. Small things. It's one of the things on the website, isn't it? It says small action, small, what's the phrase?
Yeah, small actions, big change.
Thank you very much.
The idea that each one of us just making our little changes, if we add them all up,
yes,
then there will be more.
So that's what we started to do, and whether it was to do with the environment or to do with just being nicer to people, and very much we were thinking about, you know, what Jesus said about putting other people first. So we were thinking, okay, that's how we treat people that we know and that we see every day. What about people we don't know in other countries who are suffering? What can we do? How can we live to make a difference for them? So all the kind of things. I know a lot of these things are very commonplace now. Especially a lot of green belters, that's what we all do. But what I love about the project, about Generous, is that gives me a chance to talk to other people who might be doing those exact same things. So we have an email list as well as part of the website. So if I see something on telly, a good program that's coming up that might be good for everyone on, I don't know, composting. I'm trying to think of a quick example of something bizarre.
Clothes. You've told me about clothes.
Clothes, lots of ethical shopping. I can quickly tell people on the email list and everyone can know. And then people can put their comments in afterwards. So it's sort of like an ongoing discussion. Or someone might say, oh, I need help with this area, I'm struggling with this action I'm trying to do. And someone else might say, I don't know, keeping chickens, let's say. I don't keep chickens, but I'd like to. But one of those sort of random things. And someone else might say, oh, yes, I know, and have lots of top tips. So it's that kind of interaction, like you say, a bit of a community, which I really like the idea of, and that I still find very useful. What we wanted to come out of today's session, whether you're already part of Generous, whether you've heard of it or have never heard of it, it doesn't matter at all. Don't worry about that. What we'd like to come out is for you to go away enthused about doing something generous, doing something in your life extra than you already do. We want to think about what you are already doing and be pleased. Think, yes, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. I'm really good at this. That's fantastic. Good for me. Yay for me. And then also, I would like to move on and do this extra thing. And you can begin to think about who can help you with that and what's your plan, what's your little mission. In a minute, we're going to split you into groups to have a little chat about that. I'd also like to introduce here, sitting at the front, Jerry and Sue. They're all giving a little wave. Wave, Sue, there we go. They're also members of Generous and done lots of generous things over the years. And they're here as when we have some of our discussions and feedback, I thought it may be some of the questions that are far too hard for me and Jackie.
They're experts.
Because we're just standing here doing talking. We may hand the mic to them. But we've said before, haven't we, in terms of experts and stuff, we all have our little areas, don't we, things we do. And We don't have masses of knowledge to depart. Please don't run away. But it really is. But we do want to start off the discussion, don't we? We want to share what we've been through, and we want to know what everyone else is going through.
And we want to use green at this point. I don't know about you. I always think I have two new years in my life. There's the January one, but there's always the post-Greenbelt one. And I use Greenbelt as a little chance to sort of think, what am I doing with my life? What are the things I need to think about in the coming year? So this is a little benchmark opportunity for us as well to have a little think about some of the things which we're doing in our life and some of the things which we would like to do a little bit more. So
if it would be possible, in a minute, if you could turn around and just be sort of in little groups with people next to you. We were thinking sort of five or six in a group, but it doesn't really matter. It could be bigger or smaller or even a two. When you've done that in a second, we're going to come around and give you one sheet per group, which Jackie's going to say about in a minute. And there's one individual sheet. I think there'll be enough for everyone. Might have to be with a partner, someone in your household maybe. And on this, it's self-explanatory. You can see what there is to fill in. And I've got some pens. You don't have to fill it in now if you don't want to. You don't have to fill it in at all if you don't want to. You can make a paper airplane. Although don't litter with it, because that'd be wrong. But it's a chance for you to fill it in at any time. You can see the bits on it, and it's fairly self-explanatory. And any time throughout this session, you can sort of scribble on it, make notes, and put in the things that you feel you are doing already. You've ticked that box, that's good, going well, and where else you'd like to sort of progress. That's the plan. So Jackie, do you want to explain the ooh-er sheet? It's just here.
The ooh-er is because I'm always on the lookout for good ideas, because once a month we sit, need to think of some more actions, need to think of some more ideas. And it seemed a very good opportunity when we've got people here that you might come up with some very good ideas. So the ooh-er, that's a good un, is an opportunity for, in your discussions, if anything good comes up that you think would be handy for me, then I would love to collect your ideas. That would be very kind. So we've got an ooh-er sheet for those good or unusual ideas.
And we do have prizes. We are going to do discussion and feedback and things, but we have got prizes, haven't we, Jackie? Look at this. I said to Jackie, bring four bars of chocolate, and
There are many bars of chocolate.
Most of that will be for me, but there may be some that you can have. There's also soap, which smells very nice.
And for the smelly amongst you on Monday, we have some lovely lavender soap.
And if you got those books there, yeah.
So yes. Should I just... yes, I could...
Go on then, say
and
about
also,
that.
So, and also a little book. This was a really funny one, okay? So we're just tooting along, minding our own business, doing our own little website. And I get an email from these people in America saying, we really like your website. So I emailed back, thank you very much. That's really very nice. Glad you like the website. And she asked a little bit about us. Then she emailed back and said, would you like to write a book? And I said, no, not really. It's not what I do. Thank you. It's a lovely idea, but, not right now. And so she wrote back, would you mind if we used your information and wrote a book? So I was like, sounds very interesting if you'd like to. And essentially they produced what we came to discover was a really lovely book. We were very surprised when it was a hardback. And they took the ideas which we had as the actions, and it's called Live Generously, 50 Small Acts That Make a Big Difference. And so it was a very nice surprise when it rolled up on our doorsteps, Martin and I, our copies of this. So we've got a couple of these for people as well. And if you're not one of those lucky people, they're also in the Greenbelt. In the Greenbelt shop. So
is it £5, I think?
I don't think so.
It's not bad. I think it is.
Yes.
Yes.
It's in dollars, but yes.
Yes, $5.
Make us an offer.
Euros, any currency. So if Jackie and I will come round and hand these out and some pens, if you could sort of, begin to get in little groups. I haven't said what you're going to... Should I do that as well? Yes, that's excellent. Otherwise, I won't know what they're talking about.
Sorry, definitely. Oh, yes, you can have
them. Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. So that's one per group.
People need to be in little groups.
And that's sort of one per person or per couple.
Sorry,
maybe.
Really Monday.
Oh,
Monday,
pens.
Bad time to
pens,
do sessions.
Do you think as well, or
yes, pens.
They're here.
Pens. Okay, we're not going to put you into groups. That's far too directive. Yeah. Choose some nice people around you. I know it's always annoying when people say go with people you don't know. I hate it. But it is quite nice to meet new people. So use this as a chance, because that's generous and friendly. Two things we thoroughly approve of, generosity and friendliness. Yeah, and we've just spotted one of our mates, Peter, who's there. And he, we'll tell you a bit more about him after the first little exercise.
Just wait, I don't want to know. Right. Okay, thank you. It's great to hear you all chatting. If you could just look at me for a second. I'm going to just give you something else to chat about now. But if you want to carry on with the kind of things you were saying and ignore my topic of chatting now, that's absolutely fine because it's all relevant. So it doesn't matter too much, apart from when I do the feedback and they come around and you realise you're talking about something you're having for dinner or something. Anyway, the thing we'd like you to discuss now, if just for a few minutes, if you can, is to do with living generous in a very everyday kind of way. So what we can do at home on an almost daily, not necessarily daily, but almost daily basis. For example, power, we use in our homes, different types of power and energy, saving water, shopping, the whole area of shopping for everyday things, cooking our food, sharing our things, getting rid of stuff, how we do that, or not getting rid of stuff. All the things to do with the sort of the household and everyday things. And these are the types of things I'd like you to think about. I'm going to just say a few questions now, but you don't have to sit and discuss these all, but these are sort of to get you started on this everyday thing. You could ask each other, what things have you done in this everyday way over the last sort of year or so? What are you doing? Composting? Are you going back to basics when it comes to cooking? Or, you know, what sort of everyday things are you doing? What do you find easy? What do you find hard? So you might think, goodness, I've always thought I'd like to do blah, 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 but sounds impossible, so I don't think I can do it. So what do you find easy, what do you find hard? What do you think you might, you know, you've always thought you'd like to do, you really feel you ought to work on? That sounds awful, that sounds like, it's a job. But what do you feel, room for improvement? Where's your room for improvement? What would you like to do a bit better on? And how could you do it? So you might find somebody in your group said, oh yes, I know, I started that the other day, this is how you do it. So that kind of discussion about everyday, being generous and everyday kind of in the home kind of way, just for a few minutes would be great. And if you get an inspiration to jot anything on your little slips, either of them, that would be great. Does that kind of make sense? So sort of ish, yeah. Or just carry on chatting in the way that you were is fine. Thanks very much. So has anyone got anything that came out of that, if you want to make a comment or anything that you were surprised about or you found particularly interesting, there are people with mics ready and desperate to run to you.
Because the whole point of the kitchen is that it's meant to be about you coming up with ideas and sharing them.
If it's a good idea or comment, you might even get one of these bars of chocolate or something. Come on. Oh, there we go.
In our group, one of the couples get a vegetable box, and if they get an odd vegetable they don't like, they'll give it on to somebody they know that does like it. So I thought that was a good idea.
Brilliant, fantastic. Okay, sharing veg, good. Have we got an action like that on the website, Jackie? Or not really? Share?
No, but I like it.
Yeah, that's good. We'll bear that in mind. Anyone else? Any other things that came? Oh, yeah, over behind
let's
you
have,
there.
Let's have something from all the groups. As many as we can. Collect up a few. One of the things, not share a veg, but if the bog-offs, which I find a bit annoying if I do have to go into a supermarket, sometimes I just get those and give them away to someone else. That's another sort of pass-it-on type thing, which can be quite good. What have you got over there?
Where is it? There, sorry. The idea, some of us have tried growing our own veg for maybe the first time, and if you get a glut of a particular... You know, one person's got lots of beans, somebody else has got lots of tomatoes, just kind of doing a swap. Yeah. That.
Excellent. Oh, it's all on food. I like food. This is good. Kick. Oh, yeah. Penny, more.
I'd just like to talk briefly about something that's just come into my head, the title, Magic Money, making money to give away to others where nobody loses out, everybody gains. For example, doing a house swap with some friends, and you think they live in the Lake District, we live in Lincoln, let's do a house swap. Instead of paying £700 for the house for the week or whatever, we do the house swap and we give £350 to a charity. And
I was liking the idea that kind of even mentioned giving money to charity as well. But well, that's great, it's good.
Well, because then everybody gains and it's magic money. We used to live in Exmouth, and one year a particular charity was on our hearts, and I said, what can we give? I wasn't working, so I didn't have any money really. And so I said, what can we give? And I got a group together at church. I said, who would like to just open their homes for this weekend in the summer? Because it was Exmouth, it was by the sea. And we'll charge bed and breakfast, but quite cheaply, you know. And we advertised it in a church newspaper. And people came from all over the country, and they were quite happy to pay. It was a few years ago now, something like £20 per head for bed and breakfast. And some of our hosts put on evening meals as well. And it was so easy to raise £1,000 for this charity. And lots of fellowship came out of that as well. So it's magic money.
Love the title and love the idea.
That's super. I'm going to award you a bar of chocolate as well. That's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, remember this session's generous, okay? Generous session. Who else has got an idea? It doesn't have to be as good as magic money, but it can tell us what's been going on in one of your groups. Down there, you must have got something. Can we have the mic there, please?
Well, we've had two fairly big issue ones here. Several people here have been on working holidays, Habitat and Organic Farming. And my wife and I, last year, we adopted a child, which certainly affects our lifestyle quite a lot.
Do you know what? I think we'll let them off their composting being woolly, don't you?
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Seriously, that is one of the things which we wanted to be really at the heart of Generous. And that's sort of why I like the name Generous as well, was that we didn't want it to be about guilt-tripping one another. You know what it's like? There's so many oughts and shoulds and really must in our lives. And so, you know, we would say you should definitely take a composting holiday, because the things you're doing right now is so much more generous. So that's very much at the heart of Generous, encouraging ourselves and being enthusiastic, not wagging a big finger or a big stick at each other.
We were just talking about Christmas and how it can be such a strain, buying all this stuff for all the children. We've got a large family, and some of the suggestions were that you just limit it, as you've probably heard of this, to £3 or £5 per person. Perhaps look in the charity shop or look in a cheap shop and just to find that special gift that's under a certain amount. Because some people just really need to give gifts. You know, I'd quite like to do away with it, but my daughter-in-law won't do that. And I was just thinking of something. Perhaps we have a family of 20-plus. And I wondered about perhaps doing a little form where people put down their favourite colours, the best thing that happened this year, so that adults and children alike can sort of fill in a page about themselves. So you put together a book of us, of the wider family, and then you, perhaps if there's six families involved, you sort of can pass them round, and the children can add little pictures and you can put photographs in. So you end up with a gift for each family with all these little private memories and ideas.
Bar of chocolate. Thank you very much, because one of the things which we do with Generous at Christmas time, we try and think up seasonal tips. So we encourage people to think about who they invite at Christmas. We encourage people to think about the money that they spend at Christmas and different ways of giving generously. So giving gifts of time, giving the just gifts, which I know have been popular with Oxfam Christian Aid, and thinking about just different ways of managing the excess that can proliferate at that time. So that's a good one. Thank you. Opening your home to strangers indeed is another. Yep.
Hi. Something that we do quite frequently with some friends of ours, we've both got families and some days are busier than others, so we kind of alternate on the one family will cook double the quantity and share it with the other, providing them with a very quick meal on a very busy day where they haven't had to think about what they're cooking or even do the cooking, and then reciprocate the following week on their busy day. And it works really well. It increases the variety of the food you eat no end. It's wonderful.
Where do you live?
Cardiff.
Anyone live near N4? That's a great idea. I like that. Does anyone else do anything like that? Do you that specifically or something like that? Oh, let's hear it. That sounds nice.
My next door neighbour would just eat ready meals if I didn't cook for her. So I cook for her probably a couple of times a week.
Very good. That's lovely. Okay, those two people are new best friends.
Are there any more before we move on to the next? Oh yes, man on the sofa, he's ready.
Yeah. This wasn't something that we talked about as a group because it came to me in a sudden flash of inspiration afterwards, but how many have you heard of FreeCycle? Yeah. One of the things that I'm really struck there by is my house is full of things I no longer need. And a lot of those things I previously may have been tempted to try and sell to make money for myself out of. But FreeCycle is a really good way of uniting people who've got stuff to give away with people who need it. And I'd really encourage people to use it because the whole point of it is that you give things away for nothing. You can ask on there if there's something that you need and somebody might have it that they can offer to you, or you can give something away. And it is a really good way of kind of facilitating generosity by matching up people who've got things by people who need them. And some of the things that people give away on there are incredibly generous. You know, there's cars, there's computers, there's all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a sudden specific need for something, it's likely that somebody's going to have something for it. If you're not aware of how it works, if you just Google for FreeCycle, there's groups all over the country. I'm in the London one, but there's ones in all over the place. And it's just a really effective way of kind of uniting people who've got needs with things that people can
Absolutely.
Give away.
My son's previous bed was from FreeCycle. It's very good.
I got myself an air walker. You know, one of those... anyway.
You wouldn't have paid money for that, would you?
No, not really. Yes, in the penny, yeah.
Yes, sorry, just this wasn't what I was going to say, but just on the back of that, you can, in fact, just run a FreeCycle in your own church. Just put up a board. Some elderly people, you know, can't pick the fruit in their gardens anymore, but are happy for someone else to come pick it. They probably jam it, sell it for charity. You know, it goes on and round. And again, people are incredibly generous. But what I was going to say was that the children in our family have a cooking session with, you know, family bonding cooking session. They then take those cakes and so on to church. And the children are actually now sponsoring three children in Tanzania just on the back of once a month. Really? Selling cakes at church.
That's lovely. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Jack, do you want to move on to the
straw poll? Yes, I did, but I just wanted to know whether there was some of the... Because we also asked about hard. Did any of you touch on hard? Hello? Sorry? Is someone...
Oh, yeah. We had a go at buying food without packaging. Or
That's
without
hard, isn't it?
plastic packaging mainly. Yeah. So it was okay if it's in paper bags. Yeah. And we did it for Lent last year, and it was very difficult. We did visit our Whole Food Co-op and Scoop and Save an awful lot, but it was really hard not to get plastic packaging around absolutely everything.
If you were stuck on that, then one of the things which we did for one of our actions once was to send back the packaging. So, to over a sustained period to say, okay, every time I get something which is overpackaged, I'll send it back to the supermarket or back to the producer saying, please don't wrap it up so much. Head office is a good place to send back.
I think Penny's got some on there. Yeah.
Yes, sorry, it's not something we talked about, but following on from what the lady over there said, our local resident society has started up a match a patch, where if you've got a garden that you can't make use of, or if you live somewhere where you need some space to grow vegetables, they're trying to match up on the website people to tend each other's gardens.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Match a patch, yes, that's a nice, generous, friendly...
Just moving on from the packaging, I'm very involved. I'm a biologist. One of the things that the plastic has helped is that food goes off really quickly. And one of the things we're really bad on in this country is buying more food than we need, and then it goes off. A lot of the new packaging helps make those food last longer, like special packages, put your tomatoes in or things like that. So if we want to reduce a lot of the packaging, we need to stop buying so much in the first place.
Definitely. Okay, are you all right, Jack?
Yeah, I am. But just to pick up on that point, because I think buy less is very much at the heart of, of all of this, really, isn't it? About living generously. The idea, if we are over-consuming, then there are other people who are going out without, or we are over-consuming and using more of the world's resources than we should be using. And that's why when we think about generous, we think that we're trying to live more generously in favour of both the people and the planet. And so actually, consumption is very much at the heart, and buying and using less. Buy Nothing Day is coming up soon. We'll be emailing people about that in November. And it's a good challenge. I like to try and do that every so often, have a few days where you just make sure you don't buy anything at all. Anyway, Annie, chomping at the bit. Oh, it's me. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll have to... Oh, straw poll. Okay, so the top action for generous is to not take plastic bags. So, come on, fess up. How many of you are good now at remembering not to take plastic bags? So put your hands up if you are saying no. Very good. Excellent. Do you, when you're cleaning your teeth, turn the tap off? Very good. Yeah. Do you give blood? I know some of you can't give blood. Okay, giving blood. Do you do you have a hippo? Do you have a flush, one of these in your system? If you don't have one of these, and you something similar, yeah. If you don't have one of these and you'd like one of these, we've got a box. These are very good because they. If you've got an old toilet, it's not, a lot of the new ones use much less water. But if you put one of these in your cistern, it reduces the amount of water which was flushing through. And I was talking to, in fact, it was Carla Iaconelli. Some of you who've been to Greenbelt before will remember Mike Iaconelli, who used to be a very popular speaker here. And we were talking about the things which America is more progressive on and the things which we were more progressive on. And she was saying generally on the recycling things, we were more progressive, but she was shocked at how long our toilet flushes were. She said in California, where she lives nowadays, they are incredibly short. So you can use a lot less water than you think you need for the toilet. So we've got some of these at the front if you'd like to help yourself to some of those at the end. Yes, Peter. So at the just to tell you a couple of things. So the website really is about listing actions, giving people a bit of news about things which we read about or we see, which we think are interesting, which have a sort of live generously feel to it. And there's space then for members, individuals, to record the actions that they're doing, to make comments about the actions, to share tips. But one of the things which we've introduced in the past year is some blogs. And Peter here is one of our bloggers, and he blogs about how to be generous at work. Do you want to just say a little bit?
Yeah, well, who I work for doesn't really matter. I work for a big fat Japanese company that does IT. One of the first things I blogged about, which was interesting, was we decided to get rid of our litter bins at work, which was cool. And so on every floor now, there's just like these two big wheelie bins. One is yellow, one is green. I think the green stuff is recyclable stuff, and the yellow stuff is just for, you know, rubbish that you can't really recycle, which was kind of cool. It's a bit of a pain if you live a long way away from a wheelie bin, because you've got to get up all the time and throw your Mars bar wrappers in it or whatever, but it's good for the exercise. So that was kind of fun. That's on a micro level. And then on a macro level, some of the stuff we were just talking about earlier, so, you know, send your packaging back to the CEO of Sainsbury's or Marks & Spencer's or Tesco's or whoever, that's kind of more interesting. And then I guess the smarter thing is to start looking at stuff like how we use energy as a business. So I work with these big centers that kind of house lots of computer equipment. We call them data centers. We look after other companies' data. Now, these machines are quite big, and they use an awful lot of electricity. So one of the things we've been looking at, and yeah, this is part of my job, which is weird, one of the things we've been looking at is how do we reduce energy consumption in these huge data centers and stop them wasting loads of energy. I work in marketing, so it's not all bad. We're doing some stuff for the environment as part of my job, which is kind of a miracle, really. Is that enough? Is that enough waffling on?
Thanks, Peter.
I'm sure we'll have a blog about your energy reduction soon.
Yeah, I do blog. I mean, if you want to read it, you're very welcome. I kind of ramble on a bit, you know, but hey, that's life.
Okay, we're just going to have... I've got some rubbish statistics for you. Obviously, when I say rubbish statistics, I mean statistics about rubbish. And also... they might be rubbish. And also, I know statistics are... can be, you know, completely misleading and whatever, so... But I just thought they were interesting, so you can listen and see what you think. I'm going to read out a few things and a few jokes, which actually definitely are rubbish, not about rubbish. They are very poor. I Googled glokes about the environment, and there's very little. If anyone, it's a gap in the market. If you want to write jokes about the environment and things, huge gap
we'll
in the market.
We'll post them on our site as well.
Yes, not these jokes. Ones. These are groaners, but I'll get to that in a minute. So I'm going to say these statistics and then say a couple of things, and then I've got a few questions for more, you know, to win some prizes. So listen carefully, because you never know. The questions might be about the things I'm saying now. You never know. It's just possible. Okay, but things about rubbish. Each year in Britain, we throw away 28 million tonnes of rubbish from our homes. This weighs the same as 3.5 million double-decker buses. A queue of buses that long would go around the world 1.5 times. There you go, didn't know that before. The UK produces 420 million tonnes of solid waste every year. That's the weight of 5 cars for every person every year, for each person every year. We only recycle 11% of it. In just over a week, we produce enough rubbish to fill Wembley Stadium. Over half of that waste can be recycled. Every year in the UK, we use 13 billion steel cans, which, if you place them end to end, would stretch to the moon 3 times. How they come up with these things, I've got no idea. I haven't tested that one, but I'm guessing. Right, here are the groaners, eco jokes. Feel free. You're not going to laugh. Just I know.
Just
if you want
make
to groan,
them leave, Annie.
If you want, right, okay. Don't leave. You can groan if you want, or just sort of bury your head in your hands and what something like. I don't mind because I didn't write them. Okay. These are the couple of eco jokes. I spent hours looking for these. Okay, how many climate skeptics does it take to change a light bulb? None. It's too early to say if the light bulb needs changing. Oh, some laugh. Why do spring flowers in eco warriors' gardens last longer? Because they use long life bulbs. Thank you. Groan. See, that's definitely with the groan. Only a couple more. Don't worry. Please don't leave. How do energy conscious people feel about wind power? They're blown away. And how do we know that wind power is so popular? It has so many fans. See. Definitely gap in the market, I could honestly. Right, Jackie was talking about toilets just now, about the hippos, and I'm just going to say a tiny bit about something I've discovered. You may all know about this. It's one of these, I suppose it's a slightly gimmicky thing, but I still think it's cool, and it should probably be an action on our website. I've discovered it in my parents' house the other day when I went to toilet, and on the wall, behind the toilet, there's a tiny little framed certificate, and it said, this toilet is twinned with a toilet in somewhere. You see, you all know. Right, well, I've only just learned about it. 60 quid, yes. I thought, oh, yes, okay, it's slightly more than I thought. But you could ask for it for Christmas or something like that, or save up. And there may be more than one organisation, but this one I discovered was called CORD, C-O-R-D. And I just thought that was really cool. Another one of those things, I know, it's a little bit, you might think, oh, but CORD. So you pay your £60 and that money goes to sort of sponsor, as it were, a toilet in, I can't remember the country. Burundi. Okay, Burundi. Right. So it's actually in places where they desperately need toilets and sanitation. I've got some statistics. I'm just about to read you about that. Where they're really desperate, it actually kind of, that money sponsors the toilet there. So, and they also give you, I think, the like Google Earth reference thing, so you could find your toilet or the area where your toilet is should you have a lot of spare time on your hands. I don't know what you do on your weekends, but should you want to track down that toilet, you can. I just thought that was fascinating. So I'm just going to tell you a couple of things about the toilets, because I thought these were interesting. 2.6 billion people, or 41% of the world's population, do not have a toilet or a good toilet or
and
easy toilet to
belt.
Use. now. There's another thing it says on the CORD website I found. It said, in the future, the flush toilet will become extinct. It makes no sense to flush excreta with precious drinking water, which is what you were saying earlier, Jackie. It's costly in terms of money and energy. In rural areas, dry toilets have already become the best accepted technology. It's called ecological sanitation. Interesting.
Someone's trying to make me make an action to wee in the shower, but I haven't given in to that yet.
That was on Big Brother a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. A lot on wee in the shower.
I'm not going to read. There's some other things about toilets there, but you all know toilets. So, every day 5,000 children under five die needlessly from diarrhea-related diseases caused by dirty water. Have a look at that if you don't know. Say £60, but you know, you could. I was thinking, yes,
we'll put something on Genesis about it because that sounds good.
Cord, CORD.
We but might like make I say,
you're ahead of me, but I just discovered it. I thought it was good. And I couldn't find. I looked up toilet jokes. I'm sorry, it's just a couple. And maybe for children here. Why did Tigger stick his head in the toilet?
Something to do with poo.
Looking for poo. Yeah, very good. See? What did one Lou say to another Lou? You look a little flushed. So, just see your head. How many men does it take to change a roll of toilet paper? No one knows. It's never happened. And the very last one, what did Mr. Spock find in the toilet? The captain's log. Absolutely smashing. Okay, here are the questions.
My joke? It's nothing to do with anything.
You can.
It's our family joke from the summer, which our family like. Why does the seagull fly over the sea? Because if he flew over the bay, he'd be a bagel.
See you got laughs.
Exactly.
Jack.
Sometimes ecological isn't the way to go.
Next time, it's just all going to be jokes. I think main stage, actually, next time. I'm going to work on that for next year. Okay, here are my questions for prizes. Jack, maybe if you could get some chocolate ready or something. Okay, are you ready? Were you listening or were you thinking about what you're buying for tea? Yeah, nearly tea time. Okay, each year in Britain, we throw away 28 million tonnes of rubbish from our homes. This weighs the same as how many double-decker buses? How many was it? Or roughly near? Come on. Who said? 3.5. No. Sorry, what? Do you know what? I'm just having a quick look on my thing. I've got it written down, but it just looks really unrealistic. I've got it here. But that doesn't sound right. Yeah. 3.5. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go 3.5. Sorry, yes, I was just saying. Okay. What percentage of the world don't have a toilet? Yeah, lady there, the blonde hair, good. Oh, it nearly went in her welly there. That's interesting. Yeah, okay. Depends. They look fairly clean. Okay, this is for a book, this question, Jackie. This is for a book. Okay. Each UK resident uses an equivalent of 200 cans a year. If you put these end to end, I want a hand up for this, like children at school. Hands up. If you put this end to end... This is as high as which building in London? The boy there. No, not Big Ben. No, not Canary Wharf. No, not Peter Tower. No. No, not London Eye. No, not Nelson's Column. No, not the Gherkin. No.
My house.
It's quite famous, yeah? No. Sorry? Oxford Tower, no. Yeah? Not St. Paul's, no. It's the Tower of London. Thanks. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Right. No, I know. Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep them away. That's fine. Yeah, I don't want them to make it too easy. Okay, Jack, do you want to introduce the next discussion thing? Now we can get rid of all those jokes.
That's putting people first, isn't it? Oh, yes. So, we've been... Annie's been telling rubbish jokes about the environment. And obviously, the environment is part of living generously. But as I said to you at the beginning, very much at our hearts was also a concern for people and for building social capital. And we've touched on some of those ideas already, the sort of thing about magic money or match a patch. Or I really like the fact that you're cooking meals for your friend who otherwise wouldn't cook. Some of those things which are generous and take people and enable you to engage with people in a different way. Some of the actions which are included in the book were to do with invite someone outside of your comfort zone. You know, the people who you sort of would like to invite, but you're a little bit, you just don't. Or, you know, there's people at Christmas who you send them a Christmas card, but you never really phone them up or chat. So we made that one of our actions. Looking out for strangers, thinking about committing random acts of generosity. That's sort of what I meant a little bit with the... I'm enjoying the welly moment we've got on here. This is very good. Maybe we should get him to tell jokes and sing a song. I think he'll be good.
Hey,
so, and committing random acts of generosity. So we wanted in your groups just to find out a little bit about some of the things which you think make a difference to your communities, which make a difference to people's lives, which are the sort of things which could be actions, which things which we could do, which you could do, which you know are happening. We've talked about committing random acts of generosity, babysitting, lawn mowing, sharing your lawn mower, or maybe mowing the grass for someone who can't, offering a service, offering something you can do which someone else can't do. And we'll be interested to hear from you as to the sorts of things that you're doing already and the sorts of things which you aren't doing, but which you'd like someone to nudge and encourage you to do.
And a bit like, yeah, the last time, what you find easy in this area, what you find hard, what you'd like to do more of, that kind of thing. So, yes, about putting other people first, is it? Would you sort of say that kind of, yeah, friendly, being extra friendly.
It's about thinking of other people. I think one of the guys, Roman, can't pronounce his last name, was talking about empathy. It's about the, what are the sorts of things which you could do for other people which you don't think are a big deal? So, like you, one of the things I do is I make lemon cakes for friends. I like making lemon cakes, but... they love eating lemon cakes much, much more. And it's a very small thing as far as I'm concerned, but they like it. So I'm interested in those sorts of little things which people do, which can make a difference to other people.
That's great. And it'll just be sort of 5 minutes or something. But while you're doing it, if you sort of collectively have any flashes of inspiration, do write that down on that OOER sheet, because we can make some new actions for the website for that. That would be brilliant. And if you want to fill in any of your own sheet, the one you're going to take away for yourself, then feel free to do that as well.
If you write your name by it, we'll even credit the action to you.
Oh, yes, we can do. Okay. Yes, anyone have any particular feedback from that they could... Oh, yes, okay. Jackie, do you want to... Yeah, write
it. It's something that's quite common is if you're making a cup of coffee at work, that you make one for everyone else. But something that I find the kind of more difficult to put into practice is when I'm washing my mug up, to offer to wash everyone else's. Not only does it save water, it improves the health of the office markedly because there's less life forms on desks.
That is a good one, isn't it? Because it's the tea making and the coffee is quite easy, but the washing up is terrible, isn't it?
Do you think that man needs soap or a book? Can you smell him from here? So, I think, or a book.
I think it's a kind thing. It's definitely good. He can have a random act of generosity for his random act of generosity. Are there any other good ideas?
Yep.
Chat away. Yep. Off you go. Oh, microphone, sorry, forget them.
I live I work in with the NHS, and I get a lot of selfish people, surprisingly enough. But I like to take a cake into work every now and again and share it with everybody. They're just so grateful because they don't make their own cakes.
Maybe we should also be doing cake classes. Maybe that's what we need to make the cake. We need to do cake teaching, don't we? There's a question there, and then there's one at the back.
Make jam.
Jam.
We went blackberry picking the other day, so it was free blackberries, which made more jam than we would be able to eat in several years. So we made jam with pretty lids and gave it as presents to people.
Very nice. Yes, my mum sent me an article about making jam is the new big thing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so on you go,
Two things, actually.
Yes,
one is
good.
That when I go shopping on a Saturday, I often buy a Cornish pasty or something for lunch.
Yeah.
And I try to buy two and then give one to somebody else, uh-huh. Usually a homeless person or something, to try and sort of spread the... Yeah. And the other one is I live in a tourist town and I work in a hospital, so I spend a lot of time around lost people. And I try to keep an eye out for people who look like they're not quite sure where they are and try and sort of say, do you need any help? Can I give you directions kind of thing? So.
That's very kind. It's very easy to walk by. And you live in a holiday town. I live in London and I'm often conscious that there's somebody standing looking at a tube map and you sort of think, oh,
You think, oh, no, come on, maths, you know.
Yeah, it's so usually me actually standing there looking at the tube map.
Is it? Well, I shall make sure I help you. There and there, yeah. Oh, stop being polite. Someone speak.
We live in a block of flats, and because it's a flat, they're flats, nobody has a garden, although we do have a patio. And there was a gentleman that used to live in our block of flats who used to put big pots of flowers outside the front door, and it was lovely to come home and see this gorgeous kind of virtual garden. Mm-hmm. And sadly, he passed away a year ago, and it's really brought home to all of us how much of a blessing that was to us, because it just feels so kind of dull when you come home. So we're trying to kind of now plant more so we can put those pots back, because it's kind of a communal area, and it's made us realise that you've got a kind of common responsibility to brighten it for everyone.
And it's a reminder, isn't it, that sometimes you don't notice things until
they've gone.
The person who did them isn't there, or it doesn't happen anymore. Yeah, that's a nice story. Where are we at? Over here.
It's just an incredibly small thing. It's very easy to forget, especially if you live in a town and in a neighbourhood that not everybody's really friendly. But it's just a case of when I'm walking to work or anywhere and somebody's walking towards you. In Britain, we have this chronic condition in our eyes where you see somebody and immediately you look away or to the floor. Mm. And I just got back from Africa, and you can't do that there. It's practically illegal to not look at somebody. And so it's a case of just when you see somebody walking along, actually saying morning or the appropriate time of day. And I've got so many like shocked responses, like, oh, morning, or like bizarre looks, because nobody has expected me to even acknowledge that they are there, let alone greet them. So, and that makes you feel so good as well. It's a really selfish thing to do, because you feel so happy if they say it back.
Where were you in Africa?
Kenya.
Kenya. And what's your name?
Laura.
Laura. I'm going to make that an action. I'm on the website. I'm going to call it The African. And I'm going to write about that.
That's fantastic.
If that's okay. Thank you.
Somebody
thank you for sharing all these ideas. It's always a bit nerve-wracking when you have to do these groups, because you never know whether people are going to come. And also, you never know how well people are going to participate. So I just want to say thank you very much for all that you're doing.
Hello, I just joined you, so I'm hoping I can get the gist of everything.
I'm sure you will.
Right, one thing that I think when I do it, people look at me like I'm really strange, is I use public transport and I talk to the bus driver. Not distracting the bus driver, mm-hmm. but when I go in, I just put a big smile on and I just ask them how the day's been and everything, because most of the time people swear of them, people sort of have complaints about things, so that's one thing. And the second thing that I do is probably because of my cultural background and everything.
Romanian,
Eastern European.
Yeah.
When I see something that needs celebrating, I make a big fuss of it. It's like I say to my staff at work, you're amazing, you've done amazing stuff. Look how amazing this is. Everybody thinks I'm a bit strange and over the top, but I think we need to celebrate it when I see it. So.
Yeah, and I think that ties in with thanking people, doesn't it? There's a lot of people who make our lives better by doing small things, and it costs nothing for us to say thank you. In fact, it was very nice because someone just came up and thanked us for giving them bars of chocolate. So, you know, it's nice
to
be thanked.
How did we thank him? We gave him more chocolate. It's like a vicious circle in a good way.
It works. That's right.
Lady in white.
I have a couple of things. First of all, my husband's a Methodist minister. When we were at college, it was a time when a lot of us were having babies for some reason. It was quite
prolific. That's what goes on at Methodist colleges. Interesting.
But one thing the community had going there was when a family had had a baby, the community would feed the family for a week, which you can do if you live in a community, if you're in a community church or in a village. If somebody's come out of hospital or if somebody's had a baby, you know, you can just give them an evening meal for a week on a rota. Mm. But this nice gentleman here, actually, once a week, used to open his house up, because he lives next door to a primary school, and he opened his house for coffee, for all the parents to come in and have a coffee in the winter when it was cold and they stood waiting for their children.
Absolutely. That's lovely. That's very nice. I'm often longing for a coffee at that juncture of the day.
We basically opened from 9:15 till 12. In fact, I was banned because I'm a bloke and I talk too much. but the idea was that, you know, mums drop off their children and then stand outside in the rain talking. And it was sort of Christian outreach as well. And in fact, during that time, we were able to act as sort of gentle counsellors to people who got problems and find people to pray for. But that was, we've done it for 3 years, but it's sort of reached a natural end now.
Let me just ask you a question. How did you start? Because I think that sometimes the hard bit is the gap between the good idea, which that obviously is, and the actually making it happen. Can I just ask you how you made it happen?
Well, as I say, I was banned.
How did it happen
basically
without you?
easily. My wife and two or three ladies from church got together. The ladies from church were school mums.
Okay, right.
So they could talk to other school mums.
And invited them in,
And said, well, you know, number nine's open for coffee in the morning. It got around. I think we got up to about sort of 18 or 20 at the maximum in a morning. Some coming and going as they wanted to. The little ones, the little ones played with toys that got supplied.
That's lovely. It's amazing how many of these actions come back to food, doesn't it, and sort of sharing of
food is good, which of food course is very good. Can I just say our church did something like that, but I must admit I find it a little bit sad that the dads get left out. Why can't you have mums and dads coming and having a cup of
tea? Because he talked too much. It's not because he's a dad.
I think that's sad. I'm sure everybody can talk there.
Oh, I think we don't want to stray into that.
I heard a saying once that says, what is it? Which way around? No eating, no meeting.
Ah, yes, it's very true. That's very good. Yes, I did a whole project in London once called The Great Banquet. It's amazing how many things, and that was sort of, again, drawing on the sort of Eucharistic idea of sharing food with people. And actually, sharing food is a great leveller, isn't it? It's an opportunity for us all to engage. Are there any other sort of comments or thoughts that people would like to share? Yeah.
I think one of the areas that people say they appreciate me being there is when everybody's very negative. And everybody gets into a sense of, oh, this can't be done, and look how much I got. And you feel, you get that feeling of stress and pressures of work and everything. And you just sort of, come on, let's do it. It's possible, even if inside you probably think it's not. So
Yes, I think one of the things of being generous is actually being positive as well, isn't it? Annie, move us along.
Yes, well, I'm very keen, not that I want to get rid of the books, I don't want it, but I have my own copy, so I want to get rid of this one and some soap. I'm happy to keep the chocolate forever, but I do want to. So I'm going to read you a couple more facts and stats, a couple more jokes, perhaps not any better than the last lot, and then my questions. Okay, let's get rid of this book, and then we're nearly done. Okay, a couple of things. The government's... No, not going to lift the next one. Of rough sleepers in London, someone was talking about homeless, giving pasty to homeless people. Of rough sleepers in London, 88% are male, 65% are aged between 26 and 45, and 77% are white. 12% of rough sleepers in London have been in care, 6% have been in the armed forces, and 43% have been in prison. Well, that was quite interesting. A quarter of all main roads are jammed for an hour a day. 90% of people in England live less than a 30-minute walk to a bus stop. 13-minute, not too bad.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many people have been trying in the past year or past amount of time to either cut their car consumption? Put your hands up if you've been doing better than that. Yeah, okay. Oh, never learnt to drive. Yes, that's a good way. And of course, you're a Londoner, aren't you, as well? Yes, it's sort of more easy for us. How many people have been trying to use public transport more? Anyone bought a bike in the past year to cycle? Ooh, anybody bought a bike and been using it?
Very good. There is a difference, isn't there?
Very good.
Get one for the tip or free cycle.
And also, I'm ashamed to say that apparently the pawn shop's a very good place to get bikes as well. I don't know whether that feels right or not, but anyway.
I've got here, in fact, if every bus took just one more car driver, and the bus, obviously, the lady goes on, we're happy because they'll have someone talking to them, the bus driver. If every bus took just one more car driver, we would say we could save up to 1.2 million tonnes of carbon dioxide per year. 75% of people in the UK live within 2 miles of the national cycle network routes. This is the last one. We use over 6 billion glass bottles and jars each year. It would take you over 3,500 years to sing 6 billion green bottles. Apparently. Okay. Okay, here's my jokes. I looked for fair trade jokes, couldn't find any, so I moved on to bananas. So these are fair trade banana jokes, but actually they're just banana jokes.
I've got a bad feeling in my tummy already,
this
Annie.
This is definitely main stage next year, my banana jokes. This is my warm-up. Okay, it's only a couple. Why did the banana go to the doctors? He was not peeling very well. What did the banana say to the elephant? Nothing. Bananas can't talk. One more. What did the boy banana say to the girl banana? That very is good. Quite good, yay. But it's not. It's you have a lot of appeal, but we keep
no, we
soap.
Split
I think
up.
He needs
like
soap. Okay, I'm going to lob it like that, and you can catch it. Oh, he might. You never know. It's hidden in the cushions.
Like soap.
Okay, here's my questions. Ready? Okay, I need hands up for this. We use over 6 billion glass bottles and jars each year. How many years would it take to sing over? How many years would it take to sing that song? Man on the sofa.
What 3,500.
3,500 years. Yes, I think you can have the book. You haven't already got one, have you? Could you take that book
you can
to
have
that
the book
man
also,
there? Very good.
He's never learnt to drive.
Yes. Book so you can read.
Did anyone stay at home? Did anyone take a staycation, as I believe it's being called? Did anyone stay in the UK deliberately instead of going away for their holidays?
You've got Greenbelt. You don't need to go away. Why would you need to go? Okay, my next question. What percent of people in England live less than a 13-minute walk to a bus stop? What percent of people in England live less than a 13-minute? On the sofa?
Is that 2%?
Wasn't 2%, no.
12%?
Pardon?
12?
No, up. What percent of people live less than a 13-minute walk to a bus stop? I'm going to give it to you. It was 90. I'm going to give it to you very well. Do you want soap or chocolate? Oh, you've had... I'm going to go for soap because you've had chocolate. Look at this, health and safety.
The soap was... I'm going to do two plugs, actually. The soap and the chocolate came from the Difford tent.
Oh, yeah.
And also, when you were talking about the prison thing in relation to homeless people, it made me just think, have anybody seen the rice thing next door? It's good, isn't it? If you haven't been and had a little look, definitely worth having a little
very
nip in there. Some really interesting stats. Well,
here's my very last question. This I haven't said this already, but talking of fair trade bananas in a kind of roundabout way, as I was, what percentage of bananas sold in the UK are fairly traded currently? What percentage of bananas sold in the UK currently are fairly traded? What do you think?
More than in the past few years.
60, not quite 60, no. Sorry? 40, it's... No, not quite that much. Down a bit. I'm going to give it to you. It's 25. And you're going to give you some soap. Very good. Would you be able to just sort of chuck it in a non-threatening way? What we were going to do, we're going to finish in a minute because we were aiming to finish at 5, but you say you could, welcome to Karen talking. We were going to do one more section where you had chats, and that was going to be what you could do as a community to be more generous. That might be in your workplace. We've had some fantastic comments about what you can do in your workplace already. Maybe make your staff room at your school use fair trade products or your business or your office, all sorts of things. Or what could you do as a church? What could you do to motivate your church to be more generous? Or just in your local community, all sorts of projects and ideas you could come up with. So you could think about that maybe when we've finished or in your own time. And again, that little slip I've given you, try and put something on it, and I've put on it, you know, stick it on the fridge or the back of your toilet door or something, and use it to motivate yourself and think, yeah, I am doing well, but actually I want to go on and do this and this, and have a think about that. I'm wondering, Jackie, could you just in the last sort of few minutes recap about the generous thing?
Oh,
and
yes.
About
yes.
the just yes, sort of I in case people are interested.
I'm going to do a plug. I'm going to say, please join Generous. You seem like very generous people, and you've also got great ideas. It's free to join. It's easy to join. And in joining, you're able to keep a record of the actions that you've been doing. You get a nice little pats on the back, a little friendly email from us once a month saying, yay, keep going. You're being generous with us.
which is quite nice because, you know, we're not trying to sell you anything or make you... We are trying to make you do things, but...
Sorry, we have said it's free, haven't we? We have said
yeah,
this. No,
it's
yes.
Free.
It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free.
It's free to join.
Nothing happens.
www. In fact, it doesn't even matter if you don't put that in. It's generous.org.uk. You can sign up to Actions. You can create your own profile. You have regular news. You have blogs from people like Peter on a range of different subjects. And over time, we'll do it so that you can create your little groups and you can keep in touch with one another. But we do like also when people suggest actions, and I'm going to use some of these with your permission. And Peter, what else would you say about Generous?
I guess the thing I would say is that it's not a guilt trip. All right, you do it because it's fun. See, I want to have fun and I want to change the world. I'm not sure if that's the right order or the right way around, but I want to do both. Yeah. And Gemma's for me is a nice, non-guilty way of having fun and changing the world.
And it's very nice seeing numbers grow and thinking about the impact. It's very nice that it's not just you, it's actually you and a few hundred other people who are doing whatever the action is. So it's about doing a little something, doing it together, and being friendly and encouraging each other along the way. So I hope that you might take the time to have a little look at that. Yeah. Yes, there is. Are you the person who does that out of interest?
Yeah, and yes, there is a Facebook. Yeah, I've signed up. Yeah.
So you can tell that. Sorry.
There's a Facebook group for Generous, which doesn't do a great deal other than I did it to try and get people to sign up to Generous. Yes. And you can follow Generous on Twitter.
Yes, and we're going to do a bit more twittering. In fact, this year it's probably going to move out of the margins of our life. We're trying to move it into the... Now my daughter's 5 and in school, you see, I've got some time and energy. I'm going to do a bit more of that. That's one of my resolutions from this Green Belt for to be more generous. And we're also looking at how we can work with organisations to help them be more generous in their workplace as well. So probably just like to say thank you very, very much to all of you for coming and taking part.
Peter's going to walk around with the hippos and offer them around if you want. The bookmarks we gave out, which just basically say about Generous, if you want to, we've got quite a lot up here. If you want to come and get any more for your church or family or group you're with at Green Belt, just come and take a handful. Don't forget about the book in the bookshop. I don't know if there are many left, actually. I saw a big pile and they've been going down.
I'm amazed.
These are the last few, so they're even more valuable. So, yes.
But if you don't get one in the bookshop and you want one, just email me.
But now, if you've got, so there's half an hour, as far as I know, before the next session starts. So if you want to stay chatting, you can, in your groups, or come and talk to us, you can. And thank you very much for coming. It's been
fantastic. Enjoy the rest of your festival, and thank you for your generosity in being here.